By introducing my brother, who's going to talk about some teaching tips that he's accumulated over the years, and then we're going to lead into professional development, work-life balance, and tenure promotion. So hopefully you'll enjoy this session like we did the first one. Okay? Dave?
Well, thank you, Dean, and good afternoon, everybody. It's great to see so many people interested in academic tracks because it is one of the best jobs in the world, I have to say, and I think a lot of the professors in the audience will agree with that as well. So what I wanted to do today is to give you just sort of what are my sort of personal top 10 tips for teaching. But kind of before I do that, I wanted to kind of make a little disclaimer because these are my own ideas and sort of my own advice. I do give this advice to a lot of beginning faculty members that I do mentor, but I just want to kind to say, you know, this is sort of what I felt has worked for me in my career. And I also wanted to point out there at the bottom, I know a lot of you are probably from land-grant universities. Where I'm from is Illinois State University, and it's a non-land-grant university. So we're pretty much the teaching colleges. So as you can see at the bottom here, the majority of the faculty, or in my department as well as my university, we're primarily teaching. We're 75 teaching, 25% research. And the other little thing, our motto for Illinois State is gladly we learn and teach, and that's from the old Chaucer poems and the Canterbury Tales. And if you're not familiar with the term normal school, these were schools that developed in the late 1800s or mid to late 1800s as teacher prep institutions. So Illinois State University has a long history of training teachers, and it's a great place to be and also a great place if you're very passionate about teaching. So with that, I'm going to jump right into my top 10, and the first one I wanted to say was find a teaching mentor. A lot of you, if you become assistant professors, you're going to hear a lot about research mentors, but find a teaching mentor. And one of the organizations that I'd really like to plug is the NACTA, which is the teaching or North American Teaching Association or Collegiate Teaching Association. So my advice is join NACTA and also subscribe to the NACTA Journal because there's a lot of pedagogy and teaching tips that are published in there that have been scientifically developed and statistically analyzed to make sure that they actually work. So number one, find a teaching mentor. Number two, attend workshops on your campus for your centers of teaching and learning. They may not be called that, but you should have some sort of teaching institute or teaching division at your university. And this was just some examples of what we have at Illinois State. We do have we call it CTLT, which is our Center for Teaching and Learning, and they actually have, for this summer, they had mini workshops. And you can actually apply for these and get mini stipends over the summer to attend these. So you can see one is designing your course, making sure that you have diversity in your course content, giving your older course that you've taught many times a makeover, and then also redesigning your course with civic engagement in mind. And that's another tip I'm going to come with back to towards the end here. Number three, one of the things I've always felt is the best way to prepare to teach a subject is to know your subject matter. And I'm going to give you some tips about that, but always kind of think about that. Make sure that you really know your subject matter, and then that great quote from Confucius that we always use, especially those of us who teach lab classes that are hands-on, to really give people the practice for those. Tip number four, if you're not comfortable with your subject matter, find ways to get comfortable. And these are some of the things that have helped me. Bring in guest speakers. So one of the things that I tell young faculty is, you know, if you're not going to know everything that you need to know of when you just come out of grad school to teach a wide diversity of curriculum. So if there's a certain subject that you're not comfortable with, bring in somebody who is comfortable and is an expert in that area. And students really love guest speakers. And for those of you who have taught out there that have experience, there's nothing like saying something over and over yourself and then bringing in someone else to say the same thing and watching your students go, oh, wow, maybe that is right. So you get a little bit more reinforcement with that. Number two, the majority of the classes I've taught throughout my career have laboratory components. And what I see as a big value for those activities is to bring your students out to professional businesses and tour. In my 15-plus year teaching career, I can literally say there's only been one or two businesses that I've ever contacted that have turned me down to bring students out. So the vast majority of them see that as a great way to not only connect with students, but also to advertise the jobs that they have coming available to students. And then number three, as a third tip, is shadow professionals. You're going to have some extra time. Go out and meet these professionals and learn more about what they're doing to help you with your teaching career. Number five, and this is something that I firmly believe in, I started started my academic career as a cooperative extension specialist in New Hampshire. So fact sheets are your friends. And for those who are in extension, they're great ways to find a condensed form of certain subjects and certain knowledge. The tongue-in-cheek kind of joke, and many of your students, you probably already know this as instructors in academia, is no one reads the textbook anymore. No one buys textbooks anymore. And I could literally teach the majority of my curriculum from cooperative extension fact sheets. And there are some great ones out there that you can use as handouts and you can use to demonstrate that information for your students. So they're great summaries of information. Number six here is, who you are as a teacher is just as important as how you teach. There are lots of different ways for pedagogy. There's lots of different ways to translate your message. But one of the books that I read early on in my career was this book by Parker Palmer. Have you ever familiar with The Courage to Teach? It is a great book. It pretty much changed the way that I looked at teaching. And you can take most of the book and boil it down to this statement here. Good teaching cannot be reduced to any one technique. It comes from the identity and the integrity of the teacher. He surveyed multiple students over the years, and they all described who their best teacher was, and they didn't all teach the same way. But the one commonality was their integrity as a teacher, their passion as a teacher, and who they were. So value who you are as a teacher as well as the techniques that you're actually using. Number seven, teach the class that you would want to take. This is one of my students that I can remember most of the years in a lab where we were doing a boriculture climbing technique. She was safe, but she was just actually upside down laughing. But make it worth it. My brother and I grew up in a family business situation, and right or wrong, I've always looked at my students as they're paying customers to my university. Do you guys know as an undergraduate how much you pay per class? It's about $1,000 per class. So I walk into the classroom almost every day. I want to make it worth it, and I want to make it value for the students. And I think it comes out and it comes across in what I do. Number eight, picture yourself in the seat in front of you. Hopefully you don't see students like this, but what you need to do is to realize that although you're a professor, you have a lot of experience maybe in the subject, you've learned about this subject, most of the people you're going to be talking to, this is the first time they're ever going to be looking at it. So do your best to put yourself in the seat in front of you like you're looking at the information for the first time. And if you do that, I bet you're going to come up with different ways to teach certain subjects. Oh, wow, I never really looked at it that way, or now I can explain this a different way. Okay, number nine, get your students out of the classroom and into the community for your labs. Okay, y'all reading that quote there? Okay. One of the things that my university has done over the last couple years is they've revised their strategic plan. And one of the things that we added as a university for our core value is civic engagement and getting students out into the community. It's great for service learning. It's great for hands-on projects. All I do is put out the word as a horticultural professor, and I get ideas. Can you come and help clean up this garden? Can you come and help rebuild this hardscape? Can you come and help redesign this particular landscape? So it works out really well. And this is what the new generation is. You guys are probably in the Gen Z generation, aren't you? Born after 1995? Okay, can I see a show of hands out there? No, some of you out there, they want to be involved and they want to give back. So show them how they can give back while they're learning horticulture and trying to be a professional. And number 10, this is sort of another way to look at it. It's a concept called backward design. So what will your students remember in 6 months, in a year, or in 5 years? And I got this kind of information. The Chronicle of Higher Education is a really good resource for teaching information. And this was an article from last fall where they talked as colleagues about, well, what do we want our students to remember in 20 years? So if you start thinking about things, the one thing that the authors of this article came up with is we want our students to retain passion for their subject matter. We want them to find value in what they're doing. A sense of disciplinary literature, and pretty much what that means is one of my philosophies. I teach student content, but I also teach them where to go to find information. Because once they get out of school, time is money, and they got to be able to find information really quickly. What is the relationship of horticulture to other disciplines? How do we fit in the overall fabric of society? An eye for the big picture and learning to learn, because they're always going to have to be reteaching themselves. If you can convey that particular passion, I think you can go a long way. So what are your students going to remember in 6 months, a year, or 5 years? Okay, so being a great teacher, I think everybody who's ever done this, teaching is hard. I've had assignments in sort of all four areas of academia: teaching, research, service, and administration. And teaching is very, very hard, I will say that. But passion is the key. One of our mottos for Illinois State University is state your passion. And because it's a normal school and it's a primarily teaching university, there's a lot of faculty that are very passionate about education and different ways to reach students. So if you're thinking about this as a career, we need great teachers because we need to train the next generation of horticulturalists. So ask yourself these certain questions. Do you enjoy working with students? Because you're going to be working with them very, very closely. Are you good at or like explaining things? So this is something that I kind of always had in my being, and I really like doing this. And then number three, can you think on your feet? Because you are going to get questions fired at you very, very quickly. And again, you may be teaching subjects that you're not totally comfortable with. So, and that's sort of one of my philosophies there at the end. So teaching is the easiest and the hardest thing I've ever done, and it's the most rewarding and the most frustrating. So again, it's a great career, and it's been a perfect fit for me. So sort of a summary, find a teaching mentor. Attend a teaching workshop on your campus. Prepare by knowing what your subject is. Find ways to get comfortable with your subject. Cooperative extension fact sheets are your friends, remember. Who you are as a teacher is very important, not only how you teach. Teach the class that you yourself would want to take because you're making it worth it. Picture yourself in the seat in front of you. Get students out of the classroom, and this is going to be really valuable. And then again, ask yourself, what do you want your students to remember? So with that, do we have time for questions?
Plenty.
Real quick. How fast did I go? 10 minutes? They wanted it fast. Okay, any questions? In the back, question? Yeah.
So you mentioned that you want to teach a class that you want to take, but sometimes you teach the generation, the student you teach is in a different generation. So how do you learn what they really want to take? So it makes it different from what you want.
One of the things that I do, again, to sort of make it worth it and make it valuable is combining that with one of my other tips where you bring in a guest speaker or take them to a business. And then, you know, a lot of students don't think, well, why am I learning about accounting? I want to work with plants. Or, you know, why am I doing this? And then you bring them out or bring in a guest speaker, and they talk about how important those skills are. And I get a lot of students who will come back several years later and go like, you know, I may have kind of dragged my feet, but I'm glad I learned that, or I'm glad I took that. So part of that is teaching what's valuable and what are the basic concepts of what they need to know. Did that answer your question? Okay. Ed, there's another question? What, another one? Yes.
How can you deal with a student who is genuinely trying to learn the material but for some reason just fails to comprehend it?
Well, that's sort of where you find different ways to reach different students, and you figure out, are they a hands-on learner? Do they need to see it and hear it? There are some students like that. Other students, they need to have sort of a background noise going in the background, so they're like a multitasker kind of thing. So it's always trying to find different ways to reach students, and then again, trying to show them the value. The other thing that I have is not all my students are majors in horticulture. I'm in an ag department, so what I try and look at is to be realistic and say, you know, not everybody is starting from the same point, so I don't expect everyone to get to the same point. So just try and see if you can help someone improve. Now, they may not improve like a major student would, but at least they're improving. And then what do I want that student who I know is probably not a major and probably isn't going to go into horticulture, what do I want them to remember about horticulture and retain in a year or 5 years about that experience that they had? So. Yes? I use that as a teacher. One of the things that you should have as a priority is interacting with your industry and knowing what your industry is doing and what they need. So you attend industry shows. You come to conferences like this. You bring in those guest speakers, and then you bring students out to those businesses, and you also shadow and talk to professionals. So a lot of what drives my teaching is not only the experience that both my brother and I had growing up in the horticulture industry, but talking to the industry who's hiring our students to make sure that I'm giving them the confidence content that they actually need. So, and I kind of focus a lot on the basic skills. What are the foundations? So I try and give students the skills they need so regardless of the problem they face, they know how to work through it. I focus on that as opposed to I'm going to teach them exactly what to do when they run across this exact problem because I know they'll probably forget that. So I try and focus more on the core understanding and making sure that aligns with what the industry needs. So yeah, you're going to be working with your industry and getting the feedback that you need. So that's a great question. Yes?
How often do you go to the businesses throughout the semester?
The subject of business? I work it in certain lectures at the end, but unique to our program is our horticultural majors are required to go over to our College of Business and take 19 credit hours in our College of Business. Now, a lot of them do grumble because they're in these hard business classes. They're like, why do I need to know this? I just want to grow plants. But then those are the same students. I try to explain to them how important that is, have the industry people tell them how important that is, and then they'll come back a couple years later and go like, boy, I'm really glad I took that course on human resources, or I took that course on budgeting, because you're all going to have to know cost of production. And my philosophy has always been teaching bachelor students or training bachelor students, they're looking for managerial or supervisory positions that not only have more responsibility, but have a higher salary as well. And that business is very, very important for our students. And I try my best to explain it to them. Some of them don't really understand it until they get out. The other thing in our program is we allow students with two extra classes, they can minor in business administration. And boy, does that look good on a resume when they're applying for manager or supervisory positions. Okay, thank you guys so much.